Good morning on Sunday, the 1st of November 2020. That's the day, 1st of November, All Saints Day, the day after Halloween, the 31st of October. And Halloween is actually a word that's made up of All Hallows Eve. That's where it comes from. It's not just a festival as it has been made into, but it's All Hallows, as in All Saints Eve. It's All Saints Day Eve. It's the night before All Saints Day. But I was actually looking at a title. I didn't even read into the article, but it was a comment that was been made by a Satanist. And just as I'm a Christian and I worship and believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Lord God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there are people who are Satanists in the world, and they worship the devil, Satan. And this Satanist was making the comment that he couldn't understand why so many Christians celebrated Halloween, All Hallows Eve. Because Halloween is a time where the Satanists worship the devil. And maybe we should think about that. I know we don't think enough about it. And people will talk about, oh, but the kids are having fun and they're enjoying themselves. But it's like many things that we have in life, many things that have been adopted into the church that aren't of the church. We are saints. We are those who follow Jesus. We are those who are called after him. Whenever I read in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, I read about how the letters are written, the letters that Paul wrote. Let me just turn here as I go into the letters. So I come to Ephesians, and in the book of Ephesians it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That's who he wrote to. He wrote to saints. He didn't write to unbelievers. He definitely didn't write to Satanists, but he wrote to saints. And that's the people that he wrote to. And there are different letters, and it says similar things. Philippians, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. That's who they wrote to. Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae. And so that's what they did. In Thessalonians, second letter of Thessalonians, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who they wrote to. And it didn't mention saints there, but they wrote to the church. And so the thing is who do we identify with? Do we identify with God and with Jesus? Or do we identify with the world and the devil? And many people may be aghast that I'm actually saying this morning, but let's just see how far I go with this. Because I know that the Lord would have me to say something about it. We are saints because we are saved. And we are no longer sinners. Yes, we were sinners. Sinners who were saved by grace. But I know I come across people who talk about, oh, but I'm still a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the problem with that picture is that you identify yourself as being a sinner. Whereas I identify myself as being someone who used to be a sinner, but because I've been saved by grace, I'm now a saint. And so I see myself in Christ, rather than seeing myself still in the world, having to continually run to Christ for help and protection and forgiveness. Jesus has forgiven me once for all.
for all sin, for all people, past, present, and future tense sin. Because Jesus isn't dying for me today. He died for me 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. And so 2,000 years ago, my present was in his future. And so my past was in his future, my present was in his future, and my future is in his future. And he died for all the sins that I would ever commit before I even committed any of them. So that means any sins that I might commit this week or next week or even today, Jesus has already forgiven. And that's wonderful. That's good news. And that should change me. It does change me and it has changed me, but that should change you too if you're understanding what I'm saying. Now, am I saying that I don't sin? Well, I've already said sins that I will commit today or tomorrow or next week. I'm mindful of the fact that I will sin. And actually, in the communion service today, whenever I flipped over onto the second page, I was quoting scripture where it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the thing is, I do and I will still sin, not because I'm a sinner, but I'll still sin because as a saint, I am not yet perfect. Now, again, let me explain that. I am perfect in my spirit because I have the same spirit as Jesus. And so 1/3 of my salvation is over. 1/3 of my salvation is complete because my spirit is brand spanking new. I am identical to Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is, present tense, he is a new creation. And that's actually present continuous tense. So like right now, I am a new creation. And right now, I am a new creation. And every time I speak, I'm a new creation, brand spanking new. I'm identical to Jesus. I have his same spirit within me. Right now, I am perfect in my spirit. But there's still 2/3 of me because I said 1/3 of me, of my salvation is over. And the 2/3 of me is my soul, which is my mind, my will, and my emotions. And that's not perhaps complete because there's my personality and different things in there. And there's my body. Now, my body is the easiest bit to identify. Because my body is the part of me that's walking around here from the soles of my feet to the top of my head and out through my fingertips. My whole body, the bit that people look at. This part of me has not been redeemed. Not yet. It's been purchased because Jesus has paid the price for my body. But the thing is, my body helps me to live in this life. It helps me to live on this earth. Because I need a body to be able to move around the place in. And yeah, this body needs to be fed and looked after. And some of you may be like me and you maybe feed it too much. Or maybe some of you are really good at looking after it. And you know, but it's our body. But this is not the body I'm going to have whenever I meet Jesus in heaven. I'm going to get a brand new body because this body will return to the dust. Either at a funeral or whenever Jesus comes back, but it will return back to the dust. And I will receive a brand new body because this body is mortal. It does not last forever. It will eventually die. But I'll get a new body, brand spanking new, which will be eternal, which will last forever because that's what the Bible tells me. And so my body that I have will decay and will rot away, but I'll get a new body. And so then that's a second part of the third will be perfect when I go to be in heaven with Jesus. And the third part of the third is my mind. And the thing is, in my spirit, I have the mind of Christ, but in my physical bodily mind, I don't. because I still think the way that I think. And again, each of us are the same. Now, some of us may have degrees or be even a doctorate and be really, really smart. And some may have just gone through school, and some maybe left school early and didn't finish their education. But whatever your situation is, even as being a doctorate, being a really, really smart person, you are not perfect in your mind. You still do not know all things. But in your spirit, because you have the mind of Christ, you do know all things. And so the thing is that one third of our salvation is over. And it's that part that we identify with as a Christian. And as I say, the rest, if you like, is a work in progress, what we do with our bodies and how we use our minds. But I identify myself as being a saint, saved with Jesus, perfect with Jesus in my spirit. I am no longer a sinner. But because only one third of me has been made perfect, and because I still have a mind in my soul, because my mind has a memory bank, because our brains are, they are just wonderful the way that the Lord God has made us. Our brains take in so much information, most of which we don't actually process in ourselves, but our brain processes everything. Our brain is able to work out what our eyes see, work out what our bodies are feeling, and being able to communicate with the rest of our bodies to make it work. We don't have to think about that. I don't have to think about the fact that my left arm is holding my mobile phone so that I can record this sermon. I don't have to think about that. I just do it. And I couldn't even explain to you how I do it. Now, obviously, I know how to lift the phone up and to position the phone in such a place that you can hear what I'm saying. But I can't actually explain to you how that works. Now, I know a little bit that there are signals from my brain that communicate down my arm to be able to make it do that. But my point of what I'm saying is that the human brain is so complex. But also the human brain is complex to the extent that it remembers everything. And so that even though I've been saved from my sin, even though I've been forgiven and accepted by the Lord God Almighty, because he loves me as his child, as if I were like Jesus. And that is just, wow, that blows my mind. Even though God does, I still, as Alan Capper, have memories of things that I did before I met Jesus, before I met God. And so therefore, that part of me still not has a tendency to sin, but because of the memory of things, I still occasionally sin. And you see, I described it to people like this before, and I'll describe it again. It's because I am a saint does not mean that I'm sinless. But because I am a saint, I sin less. And you see, the thing is, to go back, if you consider yourself as a sinner saved by grace, you will see yourself as a sinner. And sinners sin. And that might explain to you why some of you are struggling. Why you struggle so much with the sins that you do habitually. Because you continually see yourself as being a sinner. Even though you see yourself as a sinner saved by grace, you still see yourself and identify yourself as being a sinner. What I'm suggesting is that if you could start seeing yourself as a saint, you'll find yourself sinning less, because you'll not be identifying with the sin, but rather you'll be identifying with the Saviour. You'll be identifying with Jesus and thinking on him. You'll be thinking of your Heavenly Father. You'll be thinking of the Holy Spirit within you. And when you think of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you will find yourself sinning less. You'll actually find yourself being more mindful of other people. You'll find yourself looking out for the needs of other people and wanting to help them. You'll find yourself wanting to please the Lord more and more, not so that he'll accept you, but because you know he already does accept you. I don't love God to get him to pat me on the back. I love God because he already pats me on the back. You know, he already loves me. He already surrounds me with his arms of love. He's forever giving me big hugs. He's forever wanting to pour out his blessing upon me. In fact, it's like I'm constantly walking around in life with a shower over my head. And it's not a shower like today, because it is very wet today. But it's not a shower soaking me through to my skin. But it's a shower of blessings. Blessings being poured out upon me. And that is just wow. That is just absolutely fantastic that you can see. Let me just turn here to a verse about that. That you can actually see that. That God is pouring out such blessings upon me. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Wow! Let me read that again. I'll try and just read it. So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now, I can't help myself read that without putting the emphasis on certain words. But God's grace abounds. Now, when you abound, that's like going over and over and over and over the top. That's not just like if somebody comes to me and asks for something and I give it to them. That's, no, I want to give them more than what they've asked for. That's the way that God is. God wants to give us more than what we've asked for. And it's like overflowing. And that's why I say, or I use that analogy of, it's like when I walk around, I'm walking under a shower. Like you have a shower in the morning to wash yourself and do your hair. So when the water is coming down in your head, it's, imagine the blessings of God are being poured down on you. God does not just fill you up and then stop. He fills you up and he keeps filling. So it's overflowing. It's abundance. It's abounding. That is the way that God is towards us. And so God is able to make all grace. Now what's grace? Grace is everything that Jesus has done for us. Everything that Jesus was and is ours. Everything that he had, like Jesus as a baby was presented with gold and frankincense and myrrh. And we know that, we're familiar with that because we're coming into the Christmas season. But with gold, frankincense and myrrh, he was given all of that. He was blessed as a little baby. And we have that same blessing. God wants to pour that blessing upon us. And he's trying to get it to us and pour it over us and abounding towards us. And we can be encouraged. I don't need to struggle or strive for things. God's already given me everything that I need. How and why? Through Jesus dying on the cross. Because Jesus defeated death. Jesus paid the price for sin. So my sins have been forgiven. Past, present and future tense sins. Wow! That's brilliant. That's really, really good. And so again, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That you, talking about me and talking about you, talking to whoever's hearing this, that you always, that's all the time. That's not just sometimes, that's just not part of the time, that's always. Read what it says and believe what it says. Always having all. Now notice where the all comes in here. Again, all is like always. Always is all time. All is everything. All things. Alright, so. Abound towards you that you always having all sufficiency in all things. So in other words, everything that you need. Everything that you need. You have it all. Always. And God just keeps pouring out more. In all things, may have an abundance. An abundance which is overflowing. So God doesn't only give us what we need for us. He gives us everything that we need for us. But he gives us more so that we then are in position to be able to bless other people. So let me read that again. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. You see, the reason why many people can't do good works because they don't have anything to give. Or they think they don't have anything to give, because all they're looking at is what they've got. Now, we know stories about that from the Bible. There was the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000, because he first asked the disciples, what do you have? And they came to him and says, we have 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. What are they amongst all these people? Because they were more impressed by all the people than what they had. Jesus took the same 5 barley loaves and 2 fish and he fed 5,000 people because he first gave thanks to God and he thanked God for the provision. And the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fish multiplied. And they actually multiplied to an abundance, because afterwards the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of leftovers after feeding the 5,000 men. And as I've said to you before, that doesn't count the women and the children. So there could have been 10, 15, 20,000 people were fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and there were leftovers to the extent of 12 basketfuls. And we marvel at these things. We find it hard to comprehend it. But the point is, it's like this verse in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 8. It's God is supplying abundantly. He's abounding in giving to us over and above what we need so that we can go and do good works. We've already got everything. And all of this comes out of, because I see myself as a saint. I don't see myself as a sinner saved by grace. Yes, I was a sinner. And yes, I was saved by grace. But because I was a sinner saved by grace, I am now a saint. And because I see myself as a saint, I identify more with the 1st of November, All Saints Day, than I do with the 31st of October, All Hallows Eve, or Halloween. One day is to praise God for what he has done in making us saints through the death and resurrection of his Son Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood to wash away all sin. The other, celebrating the enemy and the world that we live in. The enemy who in essence motivated people, the Jews at the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, to crucify Jesus, because he thought that would bring the end. He didn't realize, and I'm talking about the devil, Satan, he didn't realize that what he was doing was playing into God's hands and providing the answer for us as Christians. And so I praise God today, and it's appropriate that today is a Sunday, because this is the day that we traditionally come together, we as Christians traditionally come together to praise the Lord, to give thanks to his name, to remember him, to talk about him and share about him, to listen to his word, to listen to what he says, to be encouraged and to encourage one another and to build each other up. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because we've been saved, because we've been set free, because we've been changed by Almighty God, because the Spirit of God lives in us and we have the Spirit of Jesus. And as I said, 1/3 of our redemption is over, because my spirit is perfect, just like Jesus. Therefore, I am a saint. I am a saint. And I remember it and remember that on this day, All Saints Day. And I thank Jesus for that. So I challenge you to think about what has been going on yesterday and today. I challenge you to think on what you consider is important yesterday or today? What is it you've allowed yourself perhaps to become involved in? And maybe even as you listen to me, you may still poo-poo what I'm saying. Oh, it's just a little light entertainment. But let me remind you of that article, or at least the headline of that article, that there's a Satanist who couldn't get over the fact that so many Christians were celebrating Halloween. Because for him, it's a major festival to the devil. I want to encourage you to think on these things, and instead is rather to celebrate and praise the Lord and realize whose you are. As Christians, we belong to Jesus. As Christians, he is God and he is Lord. And as our Savior, he has forgiven us. And as we prayed this morning in service, that he will keep us in eternal life. As we walk with him and talk with him, praising him for being a saint. Not Jesus the saint, we're the saints. Praising him that we are saints because of what he has done in our lives. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for All Saints Day. And I thank you for all the brothers and sisters that listen to this sermon. I pray, Lord God, for each and every one of them, that their hearts would be turned to you more and more and more, that we would be able to stand up indeed for Jesus and be counted with you as saints. Yes, mindful that we were once sinners, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we are sinners who've been saved by grace. And because we've been saved by grace, we are now saints. Saints who aren't sinless, but saints who sin less because of Jesus. Amen.